Amnesty International says a government crackdown in Iran has left more than 100 protesters dead in 21 cities. Tehran has imposed a nationwide internet blackout since the weekend to suppress news of the protests and blaming foreign foes for the tensions. But the United Nations is accusing Iranian security forces of firing live ammunition to crush the demonstrations.
We're deeply concerned by reported violations of international norms and standards on the use of force, including the firing of live ammunition against demonstrators in Iran during the protests that began on Friday and have continued into this week. Overall, protests have reportedly been held in 40 or more towns and cities across the country. But again, details have been hard to verify because of the shutdown of the internet late on Saturday.
That's the Rupert Colville there. He's the spokesman for the Office of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights. Raha Behrani is Amnesty International's Iran researcher. She joins us from London this morning. Good morning to you.
Hello.
The Iranian president, Hassan Rouhani, says this crackdown is a victory against an enemy plot. What is the enemy?
It is very distressing that the Iranian authorities have demonized the protesters and have brutally cracked down on people who have mostly been protesting peacefully in order to express their economic and political grievances. This is the rhetoric that we saw from the first day of the protest, and tragically, it's been accompanied by the intentional use of lethal force against unarmed protesters. And the information that Amnesty International has received from inside the country reveals a horrific pattern of unlawful killings, which have resulted in the death of at least 106 protesters.
But do we have a clear idea of who the president is talking about when he describes this enemy plot? Because is it just the protesters, or is he asserting that they're somehow backed by foreign influences? Can you be a little more specific about that?
The Iranian authorities identify any individual that expresses dissent as an enemy of the state. And in a pattern consistent with their past rhetoric, they always describe protesters as being backed by Iran's geopolitical enemies. Of course, the reality on the ground is very different. Those who've taken to the streets are from marginalized sectors of the society who have real economic and political grievances, and they are also chanting slogans against political repression, corruption, and of course serious economic difficulties that they are experiencing because of the crisis in the country.
But the penalty for doing such a thing in Iran is always very high. What has prompted this particular cohort of people to make the decision to take to the streets? Because there would be so many people in Iran that face a similar set of circumstances.
Yeah. So thousands of people have taken to the streets in different cities across the country. Even though the protests were triggered by the fuel prices, as we've seen, they've also expanded to express political grievances against the system. The point is that the Iranian authorities must allow the people of Iran to peacefully protest. And unfortunately, they always respond with excessive force, and in this particular case, with lethal force. And this is completely unacceptable. The situation is very distressing and urgent at the moment. The authorities have imposed a near total block on internet access, which is making access to information very difficult. And this is a deliberate attempt by the Iranian authorities to restrict the flow of information about their deadly crackdown to the outside world. And it is for this reason that we believe it's on the international community and governments, and particularly European governments that are in contact with the Iranian authorities, to step in and call on them to stop this crackdown and lift the ban on the internet and allow people to share images and pictures of their actions in the streets and of their demands.
This obviously wouldn't be the first time that an authoritarian regime has faced an uprising because of a spike in petrol prices, but even so, it's a pretty significant spike. The price went up by about 50%. Do you get the sense that it's that is driving the continuation of this, or is it the heavy-handed crackdown that's generating more of it?
The protests are rooted in long-standing economic and political grievances. So the petrol was just the trigger, but it's we cannot reduce the protests to just this single issue. We are facing a population that always faces severe crackdown whenever they want to express their demands. So we've got many workers' protests in recent years and months, and many human rights defenders, trade unionists, workers' rights activists have been imprisoned and given harsh penalties. And the authorities do not allow any open space for people to express dissent. And sadly, the pattern of unlawful killings and other human rights violations in Iran is bound to continue unless there is a significant pressure on the Iranian authorities to allow independent investigations to be conducted. The pattern that we've seen so far is a structural impunity for security forces who commit unlawful killings. And this emboldens the authorities to continue the use of lethal force, and it can only stop if human rights organizations from outside Iran can convince governments to be more vocal against the crackdown that is unfolding in the country. And as we speak, there is just more information coming out that the number of deaths is much higher than what we reported in our press release yesterday.
Yeah, I did want to ask you about that, because you said that at least 106 protesters in 21 cities have been killed. I'm interested to hear what you think the total numbers are right now, but also given the internet blackout, given the use of potentially of lethal force, how are you able to verify this stuff?
Yeah. So in the first couple of days, videos emerged from inside the country that clearly show the security forces are directing live ammunition at protesters. And Amnesty International has verified this footage through our technical experts. In addition, we've received eyewitness accounts, people who've contacted Persian language media outlets from inside the country despite the serious risks that such phone calls carry, and they've reported the scenes that they've seen. In order to put together this minimum credible figure, we've interviewed human rights defenders both inside and outside the country who've put together credible reports, but we believe that the scale of the crackdown is much larger, and once the internet ban is lifted, we can sadly document more cases of deaths.
Could you just give us a figure very briefly? I mean, what sort of scale are we talking about? Many hundreds?
So at the moment, we've put 106, but there are reports that the deaths could go beyond 200. Let me also just add that the authorities are refusing to return the bodies of those killed to their families. And this is a pattern that we've seen in the past as well. And also, if they return the bodies, they force the families to bury the body under rushed circumstances and without independent autopsies, which are necessary under international law for investigating unlawful killings. So all in all, there are multiple attempts to prevent the flow of information and to gather a clear picture of the brutal force that is being used against unarmed protesters in the country.
Raha Bahraini, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you for your coverage.
That's Amnesty International's Iran researcher.